Bugger, I think it's my favourite. That's an amazing one, that is. More of those to come. Are you ready for clue number one, though? Grab the passport. Start thinking about good times in foreign climes. Heading to the airport, buying an overpriced coffee. A slightly disappointing cookie that promised to be artisanal but ultimately wasn't. As you throw out your bottle of water that you just bought and go through security. Where in the world is Andy Mosser? So he's going to be live in this country for us. I have two clues. Here's number one. Ready for this? Following Ottoman rule, this country became a British protectorate in the early 20th century until gaining independence in 1971. Fishing and pearl farming was its main source of income until the discovery of oil in Durkan Field turned it into one of the world's wealthiest countries. Discovery of oil in Durkan Field in 1940. Ooh, independence in 71 was part of the Ottoman Empire. Do you think it's the Middle East? Do you think it's actually the place in the Middle East? Is he doing a football one? 81333RUSS, the Durkan Field and the oil. That might be the big clue.
Every time I look into your loving eyes.
On the Late Show in the BBC, good evening. It's 11:15. Anna's got her headline soon. I'll run through you weather. We got Roxy Music on the way, Pink. And if we're very good, we'll get Nick Kershaw in the riddle. And second clue for Andy. Some good solid leads off this so far. Hi to Bob in Barmby Dunn. How you doing, Bob? So going off the oil field saying, is he in Saudi Arabia? That's as good a guess as any, I would say, this one. Stephen Alley, you're going for Qatar. You are going for the football reference, which sort of makes sense. Straight plump for Bahrain, says Neil in Skegby. Ooh, here we go. Here we go. All interesting stuff. Let me say hi to Pete, who also backing that one up, and Shelley, Melanie. Now, you're all saying Qatar. All right. Okay. This is, it would make sense thinking about it, because, you know, that's, Andy always tries to be somewhat topical on his trips. We should have to wait and see. Leave it with me. 08000-321-333. You can get in touch with me on WhatsApp with that, but you've got to start it with Russ. Be wrapping that up after 11 o'clock. But we need that second clue. Kathy and Ian in the caravan in Scarbados. 95.5 FM, DAB Digital. Qatar for you. So the weight of the opinion seems to be Qatar. Here is clue number two. The upcoming World Cup. I wonder if we're right. The upcoming World Cup will be historic for a number of reasons. Country becomes the smallest country and the first Arab country ever to host the tournament. First to be held during winter. First carbon neutral World Cup with a solar energy plant built to power the tournament. I think we're right with Qatar. In fact, it can't be anything else, can it really? Andy's got a trip to Qatar. He's there now. How does he sort all of these things? I'd be really interested what kind of luxury he's come up against. I'm saying 15, 20 minutes, he'll be here. The full travel log. If you know someone who's going, there might be some tips there for you. To the headlines with Nick Kershaw.
BBC.
Let's run to the airport. Come on. Good times in foreign climes. Where in the world is Andy Mosser? Now, we had some interesting clues on this one. One that was quite the mystery. You had to have some knowledge of the oil fields. former bits of the Ottoman Empire and British protectorates and full independence, and pearl farming and fishing. And then, of course, he immediately mentions the World Cup that's coming up. So without further delay, good evening, Andy Mossack. How are you doing, my friend?
Good evening, Russ. I'm doing absolutely fine. Thank you very much.
All now, good? Everything is groovy with me, my friend. Now, we're going to leap in sheer weight of opinion. You are in Qatar.
Well, yes, a very warm and warm welcome from the Arabian Gulf, indeed.
Wow. Qatar, yeah. How warm is it there right now?
Right now it's about 29 degrees, and it's 1 o'clock in the morning, or quarter past one, whatever, 20 past one. But it's unseasonably warm, actually, because it's starting to come into winter. So they're hoping to bring it down by about another 10 degrees, which they reckon is going to be, by the World Cup, it should be about mid-20s, which I think's pretty okay, isn't it?
Okay. Well, yeah. I mean, it's perfectly tolerable, isn't it? That's what you've got.
I think so. Yeah. Yes.
Now.
So, I'm very privileged to be here, and it was terrific to get an invitation from them.
Okay, here we go. First big question here. Who invited you? That sounds like an accusation, doesn't it? Who invited you? Who invited you? And what kind of stuff have you been getting to see then? Because it must be, loads and loads of prep going on at the moment.
Well, it's non-stop construction. It's quite extraordinary, really. But I got an invitation from the Qatar Tourist Board who said... we would love the media to come over to see the city of Doha and the country, just to say what's here, what's available for tourists other than just football. Introduce us to some of the sights of the country for people to do as a holiday to tag on if they come and watch the football too. That was the really crux of it, and I was obviously gagging to have a look. It's journey of discovery because I've never been here before. So it's great. It's been good, yeah. And where it is quite interesting because it's literally a peninsula that's stuck on in the Arabian Gulf. It's literally sticking out of Saudi Arabia with the UAE sort of a little bit further along the coast and Iran directly opposite the Gulf. So, funny. Small country, 90 kilometers across and just 160 kilometers from top to bottom. So it doesn't take long to drive around. And I'm in Doha. I've been here since Monday. It's been a whiz of a tour. But, I've had a great time, Russ. Yeah, it's been very, very interesting.
So okay, right, here we go. I imagine that I imagine there's quite a lot of luxury, I'm guessing, knocking around. I mean, it's fans on the streets as you're walking around. I imagine nobody wants to sweat, Andy, of course.
well, it is an extraordinary place. This Doha, which went from a fishing village into this, well, it's almost likened now to a mini Dubai. It's nighttime. It looks like a skyline of Manhattan, Russ. I mean, it really does look quite beautiful. And I tell you what it is. It's like the buildings and architecture here. It's like a playground for the world's greatest architects, who have been invited and simply let loose in a no-holds-barred competition to out-design each other. It's just every shape and size you can imagine of these massive buildings, the most outrageous designs. I've never seen anything like it. And the winner for me goes to the Qatara Towers, which are nearly 700 feet tall, 40 floors, but they actually look like a giant magnet in the sky, two curved prongs sticking out and going upwards. You've got to have a look at it, Google it. It's just crazy. I don't know how someone would even think of designing something like that, but it's actually going to be a very, very luxurious hotel and offices, apartments, and restaurants.
Wow.
And it's still being worked on, so it's not quite finished yet, but they'll have it. They've promised to be ready by the World Cup.
So I mean,
in 5 weeks' time.
I mean, yeah, I mean, there's an awful lot of work going on to you know, get prepared for the World Cup. So I mean, they are expected. There will be. It is a major world event, and lots of people will be going there. And like you say, this is your first time in Qatar. It's not your first time. I mean, you've been to the UAE plenty of times. Yeah. We've spoken to you from lots of the neighboring countries in that area. Yeah. A lot of people, it will be their first time in Qatar. So, what's a good way of getting prepared? What's good rules of thumb for when you're over there, maybe watching the football or maybe just for, you know, tourist purposes?
Yeah. There is tons of museums here, some really impressive museums, actually. There's the National Museum, which is, well, the building itself is an exhibit in itself, really. Interlocking discs that shape like a desert rose, you know, quite as extraordinary. But it's the story of Qatar's history and future, state-of-the-art audio and visual technology, you know, giant 360-degree screens, 8,000 objects, amazing. Museum of Islamic Art. I mean, the rarest manuscripts in the world. Huge art pieces that dating back over 1,000 years. It's quite amazing. And the Olympic and Sports Museum. Olympic history. Well, they've got a hall there with every Olympic torch from 1936 onwards. All originals. And all of these exhibits, they told me, even in the National Museum, they're either been donated or they've been to auction and they've bought them. And when you've got very deep pockets, you could buy anything at auction. I went to see in the Sports Museum, they've actually got Maradona's shirt against England that he wore in the 1986 World Cup.
What?
Oh. He scored one of his greatest goals ever. I mean, dribbling through the entire England team, right? So yep. This shirt was at auction. They bought it for £9.2 million. So there it is, just to give you a quick example of the type of affordability, if you like. Yeah. And just quickly on the World Cup, I mean, there's 8 stadiums been ready. There's 7 of them newly built. They have outdoor air conditioning in them. So already in case there's a heat wave. There's one stadium called 974, and it's called that because it's made out of 974 recycled shipping containers. Amazing place, actually. And afterwards, it's going to be disassembled and sent to countries who need help with their sporting infrastructure. So I think that's quite nice for them to donate that. And I think the planners actually have thought of everything in terms of the crowds. They're expecting 2.5 million people to come here for the 5 weeks. And the Doha Corniche is basically a crescent-shaped waterfront promenade. It's beautiful. It's 7 kilometers long, and it's all palm tree-lined, and it's a boulevard. They've got, at the moment, it's used for parks and restaurants, and it's going to be entirely turned into a fan zone. So most of the fans who come here, they're going to be invited to go into this 7 kilometer road, and it's going to be strewn with beer tents, it's pedestrianized, street food, alcohol, like I said, no problem with that, and giant screens to see the matches. So I think they've understood the fact that there's going to be a lot of fans, and I think they've planned for it. They've got a lot of security coming over. They've borrowed people from Britain, Turkey, all over the world to come in. And it's going to be, well, I wouldn't say tightly controlled, because I've asked the question, you know, what's going to happen here? Are you going to be kind of lenient with your type of laws you have there?
Well, they're very different.
They're welcoming people.
Yeah, I mean, it is very different. Let's just pluck. I'm trying to pluck the right word out here. The modesty culture, you know, and the laws around that. I mean, it is quite different from what is normally you hold in your mind as what you would see at the World Cup. I mean, it sounds, from how you've described it, like it's not just a fan zone. They've kind of built a fan town for people.
I think they're trying to be as open and hospitable as they can be. And they are going to be tolerant with alcohol because it's going to be in a particular place. I mean, all the hotels have alcohol anyway. But you've just got to respect the culture up to a certain extent. But with these tickets you get for the matches, that it comes with a thing called a Haya card, which is free travel across the city with bus and metro. You get entry permits into Qatar as well, and also stadium access. So they're trying to make the ease of travel across the place as easy as possible. Okay. So it looks to me like they're doing it. Yeah, they're doing it.
Okay, I've got one. I've got
plenty to do outside too, mate. Yeah, definitely.
Well, I mean, lots to go and see.
Safari, but... if you want fancy doing that, yeah, yeah. So plenty to do outside too.
Have you done a desert safari, Andy?
I did it today, actually, yeah.
Did you? I knew you would have done.
Yeah, I've got to do it. Dune bashing and a 4x4. Up and down giant dunes, fantastic in the desert. Sand surfing, did a bit of that. And I did a sunset dhow cruise. You know, they've got these Arabic fishing boats, Arabic boats called the dhows. They do lovely sunset cruises. So it's been a blast, actually. We've had a good time. And I've even seen a couple of hotels not yet open, but we had a personal tour inside and dinner in them. So why not?
Why not? You've got to do it if you're asked. If you're asked to go over, yes. It'd be rude to say no, wouldn't it?
It would. But I did Instagram something, Russ, this week, because I went to see some of these giant shopping malls they've got. And I took a picture of this mobility transportation they've got inside the shopping malls. It's so posh that the mobility transportation look like Rolls Royces and Daimlers. So there's not many places you could say you could take a ride in a Rolls Royce around a shopping centre, is there, really?
Not many places. You know, there is only, by the sounds of it, Doha and the big shopping centres there, maybe Swaddling Coat in Derbyshire. Maybe that's the only place you could do that. Awesome stuff. Listen, you have a good time. When are you back? Yeah. You're not going to, accidentally get locked in one of these brand new hotels for another 5 weeks, are you?
Oh, I'd love to. No, tomorrow, going to hit the plane tomorrow, come back to Blighty.
Brilliant stuff. When will we be chatting to you again, my friend?
A couple of weeks, is that all right?
Couple of weeks works for us. Andy Mossack, you take care, my friend. There he is. Having a tour of as yet unopened luxury across Qatar. Sounds like a fairly major fanzo they got going. More from Andy in a couple of weeks' time. Coming up next, tonight's Elementary, my dear WhatsApp.